Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'd say you still got it, Derrick Henry. You still got it all, man. Running the ball, throwing the ball last night. And, of course, big win. Tennessee Titans are rolling on. Doesn't matter where they play. They got another win last night. The winners over the Baltimore Ravens, ousting the number one seed. Welcome back, everyone, to Weekend Morning, Sunday morning here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw on this side of the glass. Greg on the other side of the glass. Of course, he's been popping back and forth doing that this morning. Beautiful, beautiful sunrise outside. Man, so much better than what happened in our area last night. Once again, we hope that all is well wherever you are. You've had to stand, maybe had to deal with some standing water or any trees that have come down the area, any damage. We understand some areas. We saw some roofs literally lifted off the top of some structures around this area. So there's a lot of storm damage that was done when the storms came through late yesterday afternoon and yesterday evening. Like I said, it lingered for quite some time. The rain was heavy. The winds were high. At times they had a ground stop out at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. No planes taking off or landing. But that's all blown through. And like I said, as we clean things up, I hope all is well wherever you are. Thanks for taking us along with you this morning. If you're up and on your way to Sunday services, thanks for letting us ride along. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game this morning. Don't forget, coming up later today, we got the NFL playing on our cousin station downstairs and around the corner, 1380 WAOK. That's where you can hear today's playoff games. Divisional playoff action continues today. Houston and Kansas City, 2:30 pregame, 3 p.m. the kickoff for that game, to be followed by NFC, Seattle against Green Bay, pregame at 6:15 and the kick at 6:40. Those are the games coming up today in the National Football League. NBA action will be here on 92.9 The Game. Hawks playing in Brooklyn, just trying to get a win. Just trying to get a win as the schedule is about to get really difficult coming up. We got Phoenix coming into town Tuesday, Friday. They're at San Antonio. Come back Saturday against the Pistons. And, of course, next Monday, King Holiday Monday, they got Toronto Raptors. And after them, Wednesday week, Clippers. So a lot of demanding games coming up with this Hawks basketball team. Hopefully, Trae Young and company can get a win over the Brooklyn Nets, and that's coming up later on today. Now, I got a reminder for you coming up on Saturday, January 25th, will be Game Bowl. It's our paper football tournament that we have each and every year out of Stars and Strikes. And Saturday it's going to be check-in is at 5:30 to 6:30. And then the tournament play is at 7 o'clock. That's coming up with Stars and Strikes, 8767 Roswell Road in Sandy Springs. We got a cash prize and a championship belt for the winner of this competition. And I know who is really good at paper football and played it. We all know we played it back in the day in school and class, when the teacher wasn't in the room. We broke one of those things out, folded up, and started playing. You know you're real good at it. So that's something that we've done, an annual event with Sports Radio 92.9, a very popular event. So we'll be at Stars and Strikes, and hopefully you could go out, if you're not participating, go out and be a part of the fun. That's coming out on January 25th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs on Roswell Road, and should be a lot of fun. Well, folks, tomorrow championship day, we waited and waited and waited for the national championship college football to be played, and it is coming up tomorrow night down in New Orleans. We've been getting ready for it, a lot of talk, who's going to win. Who should or shouldn't be in the playoff, period. We got teams in the playoff, and now we're down to the final two. And just so happened, both of them happened to be Tigers. And you got the LSU Tigers. We saw them win the SEC championship here in Atlanta, so we know what those guys are capable of doing. And then there are the Clemson Tigers, who are the defending national champions. And for whatever reason, you know, they still hadn't lost the game, but we slid them down in the rankings, number two, number three, dropped them down, and coach got all upset and got a little chip on his shoulder about everything. So about where his team should be and not getting the respect. And I think they've kind of played with that chip on their shoulder. But joining us in studio for this hour is someone that, my goodness, I go back a few years with this guy. And we crossed paths because we got something very special coming up in his life that Greg and I talked about here and here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Ray McElrath Bay, it's always great to see you. Welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great to have you in the house.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Doing pretty well.
so you're sporting your Clemson gear.
Yes, it's not important. Only on Fridays. It's a lifestyle when it comes to Clemson football.
Oh, you got same colors over there, but not the same thing. My goodness, and a lot of people pick up your story. And in 2006, that was the year when you had to make some decisions as far as family goes. You got some support up there with Clemson, and the program was a certain thing at that time. Talk about the program you see at Clemson today compared to when you were there. And it's not like that terribly long ago, but what the things that they've managed to do here in the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years.
I believe it's due to Dabo's consistency.
Yeah.
As a person, more so than anything. Because as a young man being recruited or hearing about other guys being recruited, you hear about coaches before you get there. And Dabo was one of the guys you always would hear about before you would meet anyone else in Clemson. You'll know Dabo was there. And he's always been consistent, and he understands that he doesn't have to be the smartest person in the room. He puts the smartest people around him, so he doesn't have to do the things that most coaches would have to do, which is coach the offense and then do a little bit on the defense and then a little bit on the special teams. He doesn't do that. He can delegate that to the guys that he's hired. That's why they get paid so much.
Yeah, and that they do. But you know what? That's all a part of it too, though. Because of the success that has come, he's got more to pay the guys that are there around him. He was not the head coach there at the time, though. Did you see him having the potential to do what he's doing?
Most definitely. It was always a question whether Dabo would end up in Alabama. Because he's from Alabama. He's Alabama grown. He graduated from Alabama. So it was one of those things that we always thought that he would go on to bigger and better things. We just didn't know where. And we figured it would be Alabama simply because the ties that he had to the program. But you could see coming along because Dabo was always our number one recruiter when I was at Clemson.
Yeah.
And so in recruiting, if you can keep it consistent, you can always have those guys to, you know, fill in when guys go off to the NFL. It created a situation where the program can remain on top and create a dynasty, which is what you see now.
Yeah, it has. They had to get over a hump, though, and I'm going to bring up a bad memory. There was something they used to call Clemsoning. You see your facial expression change. But that was something, because it always seemed like the program was good and doing well but couldn't get over that hump. And to see them get over that, you know, what does that mean to you? Because when people would say that.
I think it's a testament to Dabo and the coaching staff that he has around him. It's been a situation where when I was there, we got up to number nine in the nation, and we consistently would always be in the talks to be in the top 10,
right,
but never quite get there. It was always that one game. Florida State was a great program back then.
Yeah.
Miami was a great program. The ACC was quite different. So it was just always one game that made us a little bit different from everyone else. But they're consistently winning that one game every year now.
Yeah.
And then the ACC is a lot different, too.
It is. How you feel about that? Because people talk about why they didn't play anybody. But if you look at what the past and the history of those programs – like Miami and like Florida State, that you would figure that would be a very challenging and difficult schedule.
But for the most part, those programs were consistent and they had a moment.
Yeah.
Where it was just, it can happen that fast in college football. So I've just been I've been quite astounded by what they've been able to do for the most part.
Yeah. You've been seeing, I understand they've got a lot of amenities and things they've added for the guys up there. Oh, look at this. I hear they got some nice digs up there for the guys now.
If that's what you want to call it, it's more than amenities. I don't know what I could call it. It's whatever you can think of that you would need as an athlete, they provide it to you.
Yeah.
And that being able to have that, being able to turn to a top-notch medical staff, being able to turn to top-notch equipment to get you back to where you need to be or to help you get to where you need to be is beyond an advantage. And we've always had the luck of being in the South, so we play in the heat of the day most practices, and we have the opportunity to have many hills in Clemson that we had the opportunity to run up and down like we was Walter Payton. But it's just I think it's the culture.
Okay.
Overall.
Okay.
It's the culture because Clemson is that type of place.
Yeah.
It's a family. And then everybody's buying into that. And it's always been the case, but now we have the right person at the head of that that can steer everything along.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing. It is a special, unique place. I always used to say Clemson is the ACC school with the SEC mentality. They'd rather beat you in a football game than a basketball game. Although the basketball team won at Chapel Hill yesterday for the first time ever.
Yes. Clemson is making strides to be great, and yeah. I think that's wonderful. And like I said, like you said, the amenities, the things that they provide is state of the art. Because I used to think that Oregon University had some of the best facilities and things like that. Nah, Clemson, they got it's ridiculous now. It's so ridiculous. Game rooms, they got the slide, state of the art rate rooms. They have this virtual reality playbook type of deal, like where you can go in and see the game from a player's perspective.
Right.
And so if you're a quarterback and you get to see a game from your perspective without actually playing in the game is a unique situation. I think that's wonderful.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to get into this. We're just getting started, folks. Ray McElrathbe is here. We're going to get more into Clemson about this season, about the game coming up tomorrow night, about his time at Clemson. And then later in our show, later in this hour, I'll talk more about something that is coming about that he's excited about. A lot of it took place here in Atlanta's hometown. So stay tuned. That's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Well, at least he's saying all the right things the day before the big game. That is Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney talking about Ed Orgeron, the head coach of LSU. They will square off tomorrow night in New Orleans for the national championship. Welcome back, everyone, to Sunday morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you, 9 Folds Up in the Kia Studio. Very special guest in studio with us, Ray McElrathbe, former Clemson player, joining us here, and we talk a little bit about the program and how things have changed up there. Ray talks a little bit about this season and the way you know. How'd you feel the fact that even though Clemson won the championship last year and they're still undefeated, there was still some weeks they slid them down in the rankings and whatnot. I know Coach Sweeney screamed and hollered about that. I don't know how you felt about it.
I was fortunate to get about 15 memes based on this whole concept of why we continue to slide in the rankings when no one's beat the number one team. I think that makes you number one. Until further notice, you should be number one until
somebody beats you, right?
Not necessarily until you play bad, but actually lose a game. Because playing bad is different from losing. You can play bad and win. Clemson can do that. Not many programs can. But you can play bad and win. And Clemson, if you're worried about the guys that they were playing, because that was always the argument, who are they playing against? They didn't make the schedules are the schedules. The teams that they lined up against are the teams they lined up against. Ask yourself the question, when they lined up, what happened? And up until this point, Clemson has consistently won. And it's one of the things that Dabo keeps reminding people of. He's graduating some of the most winning classes in college football ever.
Yeah,
like these guys have 54 and 55 and 56 wins, which is the most you could possibly come out of the university with. So I think it's a funny thing about the rankings, and then you have at least 5 to 10 guys every year going in the league.
Right.
So I'm not exactly sure why this thing happens, but I think it's a wonderful thing that they keep that going for Clemson, to allow Dabo to use that as a weight on their shoulders.
Yeah.
Just something to go against. Because if you're number one, there's few things that you have that are not in your favor. And so that's one thing that you can always bring up. Like, they think they count you out. You're underdogs.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like being an underdog.
I'm sure you used that when they went up against Ohio State.
Of course. You can't be disrespected as a player or as a man in general. You don't want to be disrespected. And the it's disrespect to be like, okay, you're not number one. You didn't lose. You know, you haven't lost in years, but you're still.
Yeah, right. We're not going to give you that number one ranking.
Right.
You know, when you think about it, when's the last time a program got motivation from the entire league, from the entire pro? I mean, this is what Clemson has. You don't hear that about Notre Dame. Because what we're talking about here basically is the fact that they're in the ACC and the other teams are down. They don't have the powers across the board that other conferences do. So if Miami were up or Tech were up, things like that, it'd be a different conversation. But the conversation, as he has said, about them not playing anybody, much like what folks were saying about, that's the funny thing is about, they were saying the same thing about Alabama this year too, right?
Yeah, yeah, in recent years. I mean, because that schedule usually doesn't get tough till the back end of the schedule. You know, usually. I mean, now the back end of the schedule for Alabama had LSU and it had Auburn. And it had some difficult teams and they ended up losing those games. But of course, they had a quarterback that went down with an injury.
But is it as simple as saying it's the ACC that's providing this argument for everybody else who wants to look at Clemson with a skunk eye?
Yeah, because it's not cool, but they use that because the SEC is known for – you know, the guys that go to the league is one of the top programs, well, not programs, but conferences in the nation. And so, but that's changing. I think it's been changed. I think Clemson successfully has made the ACC what it has been. And that's taken away from the other teams in the ACC because Clemson recruits Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama. And these guys are going to Clemson now.
Ray, I gotta switch something because I got to get back over here. But I'm glad you brought something up last segment. Sam and I, for a couple years, have been going back and forth about something. And he thinks, he swears to this day, that once Nick Saban steps off the stage at Alabama, that Dabo is the perfect fit and will be the guy that Alabama courts and has him come back to Tuscaloosa. And I say, nah, there's no way. Why would he do that? Why would you go and chase not one, but two ghosts at Alabama? Moreover, why wouldn't you want to be, and I'm going to use a basketball analogy, why wouldn't you do to Clemson what Coach K has done to Duke? Because Duke was not on the map before he got there. I mean, they were a program, they were in ACC, but they weren't who they were. Let him be that man at Clemson. That's my argument. I realize you love Clemson, but realistically, do you think that that would be a move that you see coming down the road?
And you know Dabo Swinney now. You know what Alabama means to him.
It means so much to him, but I've understood that money plays a big part of this, and one of the things that's in Dabo's current contract is a buyout that kind of almost prevents him from going to Alabama. I can't imagine Alabama, you know, putting up the money to make it happen, and then I couldn't secondly imagine Dabo leaving for no particular reason other than just that Saban's gone, because right now – it's different if Saban leaves and he's leaving the dynasty, leaving, you know, someone to come in to take over the reins for a national championship team. But Dabo's the national championship coach. So why would he leave a national championship program to go to a program that he didn't help build? Because most of programs are built in recruiting. And if you lose your head coach in recruiting, it's hard to come back to another program and tell these kids that I'm always be here with you. I'm going to be here these 4 years. I'm going to be right there next to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't imagine Dabo leaving the guys that he recruited to go to who would become their instant rival.
Wow. Wow.
You still on that now?
He'll still get a call. He will get a chance to turn it down.
He'll get a call.
He's going to get a call.
That ain't the argument. I agree with you there. They're going to make the call. But, you know. Have you kind of changed your tune a little bit? You don't see him stepping over there?
I can imagine Dabo sending someone there. I can imagine him assisting them in their coaching search. Pulling maybe a guy that was on his staff.
Okay.
Or Venables. Sneak off.
Yeah.
Not that I want him to go anywhere. He's a wonderful guy and a wonderful coach.
And bringing him in on another conversation, one of the other things that Sam and I have been talking about lately is the success that assistants on the college level have had. You know, Saban's old assistants can't beat them.
Mm-hmm.
But Belichick's, case in point yesterday,
have beat
them soundly. And why do you think that sort of thing happens? Why on the pro level but not on the college level?
I believe on a pro level, what ends up happening is you get the opportunity to go somewhere and I guess I'm losing my thought process on how to do it, but
You go there and you kind of you get to stack things up, and you probably can have guys stay there for a longer period of time is what I would think at the professional level. Whereas at college, you got this short window of time, you know, with guys, which makes recruiting the big thing. You talked about dabbling in recruiting, and that's what Saban does. You got to not only get a certain kind of a player, but you got to stockpile, man, these days. And that's, you know, that's something that you're able to do at the collegiate level that you can't really count on, you know, with the NFL, I think.
True enough, but with the assistants being who the assistants are, like with Belichick, he doesn't have the program, in this situation. So if we're going from college to pro, Belichick doesn't have the program that he used to have. So it's easier for his assistants to beat him. Whereas as a assistant in recruiting, you go to a new program, you got to find guys.
Yeah,
you gotta change the culture more so than anything.
Right.
In the NFL, a lot of teams, like unfortunately, the Atlanta Falcons sometimes get caught up in the Falcon culture.
Yeah,
and Falcon culture is sometimes what people consider what Clemson culture was. We'll get close enough, but not enough to get over that hump.
Right.
You know, you always like the Super Bowl Falcons that played against Denver.
Yeah. I was there for that.
Don't even then yeah. We're not gonna talk about these last Patriots Falcons game. Yeah. We still
suffering from that one, man.
Right. So it's a culture thing. So I think once you're able to do that in the NFL, because Belichick is on the top of the totem pole in the NFL, like Dabo is on top of the totem pole in college football. And you'll get the opportunity to go against your guys with programs that are, you know, on the up and coming.
Yeah.
Whereas in college, typically, if you lose an assistant, he's going to a smaller program that's nowhere near where you're at.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a Clemson.
Yeah. That's one of the things to think about. Clemson, obviously, tomorrow night against LSU. Have you watched LSU much? What do you think about what they've done? But they got a quarterback that loves to light up the scoreboard. What do you think about Clemson facing him?
I think it's a wonderful challenge. I believe because I've always wanted Clemson to play the best and beat the best, so when I can have these arguments at home and in the gym, I can always say we played the best and beat the best. Okay, supposedly leading up to the national championship game, we didn't play anybody, but we played the team that made it to the national championship game, and we beat them. And most recently, we spanked them. So.
Yeah.
Therefore, we shouldn't be in these arguments or these conversations about, you know, what we can do as Clemson football players. But LSU is a wonderful program. They got playmakers everywhere. And then they got the Heisman Trophy winner. And I always think Heisman is part hype, but I've watched this guy.
Yeah.
He's a model consistency. He's even to the likes of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Who hasn't lost a college game. So it's just, I think their program is wonderful. Coach O, I think his tenacity, his aggressiveness, their program buys into it. They've always been a gritty program. And that was not something Clemson was known for. But through the years, it's changed because we've recruited great O-line and D-line. I think it starts there. And if you get those guys, if you get some dogs there, as they call them, if you get some dogs there,
yeah,
you're good.
Yeah, that's kind of what has happened up at Clemson. Big time, folks. We're spending time in studio guest Ray Michael Rathbay. Is with us. You want to join the conversation with us, 447-410-929, or text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 447-410-929. Ray, during your time there at Clemson, something very special happened with you and for your family. And that's something we can't forget. We want to get into that a little bit with you when we come back. We're going to take you back to 2006 and let us explain to you what's happening and how it's going to be something that's going to come to the people can watch in a film. Some of it was shot here in town. Some of it was shot back up at Clemson. You got a chance to go back up there for that. But it's something quite special. So we're ready to talk about that when we come back in the next segment. You good for that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm excited. Let's talk.
All right, we're going to talk about it. Ray Michael Rathbay continuing in studio, talking Clemson and talking about something very special during his time there as a player. We continue on this Game Day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw, 9, flows up in the Kia Studios on this game day Sunday morning. Glad to be joined in studio by Ray Ray McElrath, Bay, former Clemson player, as Bo Johnson walks in his LSU stuff. should have known he would have that, folks. Yes, it is the day before the big game. We've been talking about that with Ray Ray McElrath. But he's talked about Clemson, obviously proud of his school and what they've been able to accomplish. But, man, take us back to when you went to school there at Clemson in 2006. You get there to play with the Tigers, and then there's some things back home that were tugging at you. Talk about the things you had some decisions that you had to make.
Back when I was in school, freshman football player, every day I'm just kind of running around being a freshman football player. My mom, who's addicted to crack cocaine, she's a recovering addict. She's been clean for almost 2 years now.
Okay. And, thank you. Thank
clap
for
it
that.
Up for her. Clap it for up that. For her. But during that time, I was going through a few struggles in life as far as my family and what she was going through, because she was in the thick of her struggle with crack cocaine. My younger brother, Faymar, wanted to come up to Clemson to visit me. At the time, my mom was living in Vegas with my father, my biological father, who's unfortunately passed before, like 2 years since this. But they were living out there. Faymar wanted to come visit me in Clemson. He called me every day for about 2 weeks.
Really?
And I finally let him do it. He traveled as an unaccompanied minor from Las Vegas to South Carolina. I picked him up at the airport. Everything was fine. He was in Clemson for a little while. We ran around. We played. I was still practicing and doing summer workouts and things like that. And when it came time for me to send him back, he told me he didn't want to go. He said he'd rather go to foster care, which was a large stretch for me. You would rather go to foster care than to go back home? Yeah, he said it's just a bad situation with the thing that was going on with my mom and her drug use and all that kind of stuff and disappearing. So he just wanted something that was more consistent, and he felt like foster care was the situation. And then he asked me, could he stay with me? And me being me, I'm like, no, you crazy. I'm an 18-year-old kid in college, a freshman football player. But he was, like I said, he was adamant about it. And I decided to ask one of my mentors if I should do it.
Yeah.
And my mentor, a gentleman named Tyrone Hill from Atlanta, cussed me out.
Ooh.
Told me about myself. Because he was just like, how you going to take care of a kid or take care of a young person? Who are you to think that you could take care of him when I pay your cell phone bill?
Yeah.
And you living off of your Pell Grant and you broke. So who are you to think you could raise a kid? And it was tough love, but it made me really question whether I needed to do this and how I was going to go about doing it. And I spoke with another mentor, a gentleman named John Bell, and John was like, go for it, Ray. And so I didn't tell Tyrone. I continued on, and I decided to keep my brother. I didn't tell my coaches either, and because Tyrone was also worried about what my coaches might think about me having a kid on campus and me being a football player.
Yeah.
And it was illegal, too. So he was just, you know, you don't want to throw away your opportunity.
Right.
If you want to break the cycle of drug and, you know, craziness in your family, you need your education. And this is the way that you need to do it. You need to get your education, take advantage of your opportunities right here, right now. And it was very important, but I decided to get my brother. I decided to keep him. And I ran around campus for a while, hiding him.
Hiding him where?
Well, I lived in an on-campus apartment, but I so he'll come to practice, but he'll stay on the outskirts of the field. Anytime I had study hall or things like that, he'll go over to another friend's house. And so basically I just tried to keep him out of sight, out of mind, so many people wouldn't see him.
Yeah.
And then a reporter asked the question, like, who's this kid? Where is he coming from? And then one of my teammates told him, like, that's Ray Ray's brother. He stays with Ray Ray, like, really stays with Ray Ray. And he was like, oh, so he asked me that day, can he talk to me after practice? And I said, yes. He said he needs 10 minutes. We came back that next day. We sat and we talked for 3 hours.
Whoa.
And then that next day, we talked for 3 hours again. He was a beat writer for Charleston Post Courier. And so he had 160 words on the side of the paper, but they decided to take his story and put it on the front page. And that's kind of what started it all as far as the public perception of Ray Ray. Yeah. But it was a lot of, you know, behind the scenes things going on before that even became public. And once it became public, people wanted to help, but I was a college athlete. And then the NCAA don't play those games where if you can't get anything because of who you are.
Right.
Anything that wasn't offered to a regular student, I couldn't take advantage of. So if it wasn't a program where regular students could use, I couldn't use it. So if someone was taking my brother to school, there had to be a program that took every other student's kids to school who needed that particular help. But that wasn't the case. We went to the Florida State game. He was shown on camera at the Florida State game holding up a We Love You Ray Ray sign. NCAA got wind of it, called him, saw him, and that was the beginning of me getting suspended by the NCAA. And once I got suspended by the NCAA, people who were already trying to help and couldn't help me, and then the NCAA turned around and suspended me, and that kind of made the story national. And that's when Stephen A. Smith picked it up, Jim Rome picked it up, ESPN picked it up, the Associated Press picked it up. And because at the time it was a lot of football players getting in trouble for domestic violence and drug stuff and car with DUIs and things like that. And so it was like he was a young man trying to raise his brother, trying to do the right thing. And here you are suspending him and punishing him. But that started a whole little outcry. The Clemson family jumped in and they made websites calling the NCAA hypocrites. Who was the NCAA president at the time was Miles Brand.
Yeah.
God rest his soul. But he came to Clemson. We did a photo op to apologize. And then from there, that's when my story really kind of took off. By that time, it was a national story and it continued.
Yeah. Yeah. Spending time, in case you're just joining us, Ray Ray McElrathbe, former Clemson player. Had a very special story, and he's relaying it to us from the years 2006. He was a player there. His brother needed to a place of refuge, actually. Home wasn't a good place. He took his brother in at Clemson, but then the NCAA wanted to suspend him and punish him because that wasn't allowed. Now, what came out of it was a lot of support from everyone there at Clemson for him.
And also, Sam, a movie. So this is what I want to get into, and actually we're going to suspend casting call this hour so he can talk about that because folks need to know about it and then when it's coming out because this is one of those movies. You got Disney behind you, man. You got the mouse telling your story.
You don't know. Nobody knows about the mouse. The mouse is he's a character. The mouse is phenomenal. Yeah, I don't know about the mouse.
Yeah, well, they got deep pockets there. So you say Stephen A. and all these national correspondents start talking about your story. How did the movie come about? Was it because of that conversation? Did you reach out or some family member reach out to somebody else? How was that brought to your doorstep?
Being a Clemson guy, how it was brought to my doorstep was the University of South Carolina. Todd Ellis. He played quarterback at University of South Carolina.
Know him well.
Mark Ellis' brother, who does game-changing films, who does a lot of the sports reenactment for major motion pictures. And so Todd Ellis came to Clemson and told me that I had a story that people would want to hear way back then. And he said, would you be interested in, you know, selling your story? And me, I'm not sure what that meant. I'm like, okay, sure. Can I sell it? Because I just came off suspension for doing something I had no business doing.
Yeah.
But they was like, yes, we got to talk to the NCAA, but you can possibly sell it. So Todd Ellis came down to Clemson, had a good talk with me. He reached out to me through Jeff Davis, who was our athletic director and my mentor. And, like, if you wanted to deal with me on campus, you had to talk to Jeff.
You got people.
Yeah, I had to have people.
You got people.
I was raising a kid at that point, and I needed people bad. And Jeff was one of those people that was always consistent with me and always kept it straight with me. And he basically told me some of the better advice, I think, in my life as far as raising kids is concerned. And that's basically before you look at your child, before you say anything to your child or discipline your child, look at yourself first. And the question, did you do everything that you're supposed to do? Because this is a minor. And
that's what I was going to ask you about. When it comes to movies and minors, man, it's a slippery slope. It's got to be done right.
Yes. And Disney goes above and beyond to make sure minors are done. They create what they call a Coogan account. So you can't even take money. You can take a percentage of the money and it's put off for them to when they turn 18 or 25. And once you're on set, they give you a liaison if you're a minor.
Yep. Teacher, too.
Teacher, too.
Yep.
Teacher, liaison, they set it up. They, like you said, their pockets are deep. They have no end. ESPN, ABC, and anything you might want to think of, the mouse has something to do with it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, because now we team. But the movie has been it's been a process more so than anything. It's been 13 years. It took 13 years. Three scripts.
Now, were you in on those the writing of it? I mean, you wrote. Did you give away all of your story, or the portion that only applied to your time at Clemson with your brother?
I ended up signing all of my story in theory. Not necessarily all, but all regarding that particular time.
Right.
So, like, anything involving Clemson, Clemson football, and how I came to that, yes.
The reason I ask is because there's always this conversation that goes on when it talks about either a pro or college program. Now you got licensing, because if they're going to show Clemson's uniforms on camera, somebody got to have a conversation. If you're, you know, there's all these different levels, and this is the, as they say, the business of show business.
Yes, it's extensive too. It's more so than you could ever think of, because anything that you brought on camera had to be released from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to put some of my Mays High School stuff, Benjamin Elijah Mays, south side of Atlanta.
Yep.
Call out to the Raiders. Hey guys,
now, did you have to let them know?
Yes, I had to. I had to let APS know.
Atlanta Public
I had
School
to get it
know.
Signed off. Disney had to get the release from them. They had to have the waiver on file before anything could be shown on camera.
Right.
And I thought it was just a whole bunch of, you know, bureaucracy and just a bunch of craziness. But it's just a part of the business, because people sue for everything.
Yeah, they do. Quite litigious in this business. Listen, we're nearly up against it, but when is the movie coming out? Where can folks see it?
Oh, okay. The movie looks to be released in October of this year, October 2020. The movie name is Safety. It's the first biopic that will be released on the Disney Plus platform.
Okay.
If anything changes, I'll be sure to chill somebody, let someone know, because these things often change, just to be honest with you. But if you have any questions, feel free to contact me via Facebook, Instagram, all those good things.
How do you feel for them to, like, go to an actual game at Clemson this past fall and film some? They filmed at an actual game, right?
Yes. At halftime of the Clemson-Charlotte game, they filmed parts of the movie. And when I tell you, that was a 4 months of planning.
Yeah.
And for 7 minutes.
How about that?
It was for half of a halftime. It was 4 months of planning for 7 minutes. And we did rehearsal after rehearsal. We ran through so many different things. And being that Disney's what Disney is, they had the ESPN cameras, ABC cameras, and they were able to put a lot of things together.
Yeah. We're going to get back into this, talk more about this, and get into football, because it is division playoff Sunday for the National Football League. We got four hot quarterbacks going. We're going to get into that. You going to able to hang around with us for the next hour a little bit?
Yes.
Ray McElrep is going to hang around for the next hour here on Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99thegame.com. I'd say he's an unstoppable force, folks. Derrick Henry. Talking about the Titans rolling on with the win last night over the Baltimore Ravens. Welcome back, everyone. It's Sunday morning, a game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sam Crenshaw, 9, flows up in the Kia Studios. Greg's on the other side of the glass, in-studio guest, hanging around with me for a while longer. Ray McElrath Bay. We talked in the last hour some about Clemson, his experience, and being depicted on the big film that's coming up, Disney. We're going to get into that some more this hour as well, but we're also going to talk some about the football on the field and get your perspective on the games coming up today in a moment. We just talked with Derrick Henry. The last 2 weeks, that guy's just been dominant. Well, he's had a great season, too. But he's on a team that is hot at the right time. And I don't know if you'd rather be the team that's played the long season like the Ravens had, and all season long they were this portrait of excellence, or the team that gets hot the back half of the season and wins. And, you know, I don't know which one. But right now we know who won last night.
Yes.
Which one would you rather be playing on?
You want to be there at the end.
Yeah.
You can lose every game leading up to the point where you need to win.
Yeah.
And win every game that you need to win and be where you need to be. So it's about the finished product. It's not always about how you get there, especially when it comes to wins and losses in football.
Yeah.
Whereas in if you were just talking about getting to the game, it's important. Every detail is important. You got to do everything that you need. You be in the weight room. You need to go to class. You need to do everything that you need to. But when it comes to the nuances of just winning and losing, all you want to do is win. You get the W, we can discuss everything that happened leading up to it and be great. Be grateful that it did happen because we got the W. But the win is always more important.
You think about him, you think about this team, and you think about they having to do it all on the road because they came in the way, like you said, they got enough wins to get them into it. They had to go to New England.
But see,
they
that's won. That. I think that is the great thing about it as well because you get to come in as the underdog, and it's easy to play without a chip on your shoulder, but it's also great to play with a chip on your shoulder, but it's easier to play when you're not, you don't have that pressure. They don't have that pressure of, you know, you have to win. You're not expected to win. So anything you do is like icing on the cake. Is you got the cake already because you're there.
Yeah.
You were lucky enough to get there, and then people didn't think you would make it, but now you made it. And I just look at it in life. Like, I don't care, like, if I was a little kid that mother was on crack when I was growing up in Atlanta. If I finish my life, if I change that cycle.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Break out of it. Do that different thing, that thing that makes a difference.
Yes.
We talk about that and talk about the Wolf. I got to talk about a guy who did phenomenal things. We're looking at it on the screen up here, Lamar Jackson.
Rough night for him.
Yeah, rough night for him. What do you think about what he's done all season? Does last night's failure erase the season that he's had?
No, you can't take that away from him because he also plays on the team. And as a team, you lose as a team. You don't lose as an individual. That's the great thing about being on the team as well. But they had some struggles. They're learning. And then the Titans were just ready. And the Titans got a bunch of dogs. They got a bunch of dogs. Their receivers are monsters. Their running backs are monsters. It's almost like a bunch of David Bostons running around the field. Everybody looked like they weight room guys.
Yeah.
And that they show that they got that mental toughness and just the overall toughness to continue.
Listen, I had to dive in here because I want to get back to Derrick Henry. And since we got a running back in the studio, Sam, we have talked over the last couple of years about the perception of the NFL, and it's become a passing league, and when you got a running back here, and I want to ask you, what do you think of the way the league is going and the, for lack of a better way to put it, the diminishing responsibilities and importance of the running back in this league? That was the gold standard. Once you got past quarterback, you know, back in the day, it was your running back. And these guys have gotten away, you know, they want to throw the ball to these divas on the wide end and all that sort of stuff. But then you see what a Derrick Henry or a running back like that could do. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott had to jump through so many hoops to get his money.
Yes. But
and running backs like that.
Because now dual threat is considered the thing now. Because the style of football, analytics has jumped in, and that's kind of taken over everybody's thought process about how to conduct themselves as far as calling and being in the game. But you can't beat hard-nosed running. If you can run downhill, if you can beat your guy in front of you, because that's all that is you one-on-one with the guy in front of you, mano-a-mano, that's what running the ball is. And it's taken away. The league has, I won't call it soft, it's become more safer. Safer.
Yeah.
The league's safer. And so with that situation created, it made it so these perennial guys, these guys on the outside, can thrive. Because if you're not worried about getting killed going across the middle, why not go across the middle? Because if you're going across the middle in the old NFL,
you used to, man.
Yeah, you know, you trying to get retired early. You're taking chances with your life running across there and catching the ball. And now you can move with absolute freedom. I would want to be a receiver at this point. Because, I mean, why? You can get the ball, and then you don't really have – no blind side. You can catch the ball completely.
And
so it's a different game. I think – and that's what's diminished the style – that's what's diminished the value of the running back because the game is not played the same.
Yeah. Once you get to the playoffs, so you get this time of year, you can see the value.
But it's switching, though.
Yeah.
If the Lamar Jacksons of the world, the running quarterbacks, the more athletic guys are coming back and they're going to – I think the league is changing in that way too. But the running backs are very important. They've always been important. If you can have a running game, you'll always have a passing game.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You mentioned the quarterbacks. And, folks, we spend the time with Ray McElrathbag, former Clemson player, whose life is going to be depicted in a Disney film that should come out in this coming fall in October called Safety. He's here in studio with us, and we're just talking some football on Sunday morning. You know, today we talked about the quarterbacks, and the outstanding quarterbacks are going to be a display. And let's start, first of all, with Deshaun Watson and talk about what this guy meant to Clemson and what he's showing us now out of Houston.
Deshaun is a Clemson legend, not only a Clemson legend, he's a Georgia legend as well. He's a wonderful individual. He's always been a good young man, and I'm happy for him and all the success. But you knew he was going to be successful because he's always had that work ethic. He always had that something about him. And he's been able to take that something, whatever that was, and transition it to the NFL, because a lot of guys, you are winning guys in college, you know, the Baker Mayfields of the world, not saying that he's not going to win in the NFL. But there are a lot of guys that win in college that come, Johnny Manziel, come to the NFL and it doesn't transition. But he was always, he's always had a good head on his shoulder, and I hope they win. I do hope they win. I'm pulling for them, and but this, it's not just him that's out there as far as the quarterbacks are concerned this weekend, because it's all
the
one
who's going up against Kansas City. Yeah, and somehow, can it's possible for Mahomes to fly below the radar?
No,
because everybody's talking about these other guys, and hey, don't forget about him.
Well, because they took a little downturn in the season. They weren't as dominant as they was in the previous year, and they it wasn't as many big plays. I think Mahomes was out for what, 3 games, something like that.
Yep, and missed some time.
Yeah, but that changed a little bit, so they allowed people to kind of catch up and give people the idea that the Chiefs are not ready yet. And then the Chiefs' defense wasn't playing all that great early on. But they've since then picked up everything, and looks to be a very promising Sunday of football.
Yeah, yep. I think that's going to be a good one as well. That's a good game in that one. It's going to be a big matchup on the NFC matchup. Obviously, they're going to play up at Green Bay. We just saw it's 13 degrees up there. But Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be ready to move around. Seattle's going to have the work cut out. Well, they got a great one in Russell Wilson, too.
Yes, it should be an interesting game, being that the Packers are at home. I think they're the favorite. And Aaron Rodgers hasn't been playing like Aaron Rodgers up until this point. Not the Aaron Rodgers that we know, as Stephen A. call him, the bad man. He's been all right. He's been decent. But he doesn't have the receivers that he would typically have as well. And I say that to say that, you know, sometimes it's a group effort. You can't do it everything by yourself. But being that it's cold as it is, and they're at home, it's a few things that can happen in Lambeau that don't go Green Bay favor.
Yeah. They usually do it in that place. That's going to be great. We think about what Wilson's been able to do with Seattle.
Wilson would be the MVP if it wasn't for Lamar Jackson's season, as far as I'm concerned. He's played that type of season, but Russell has always been that guy. Nobody remembers him at NC State. He was that guy then. he's a pro's pro. If you think about it, because you don't ever hear about anything other than football with Russell Wilson, other about great things, but with Russell Wilson, and so he's a pro's pro. And with a guy like that, who you know is very serious about his craft. Not that Aaron Rodgers is not. You know he'll bring his A game to the forefront, and I expect him to do that. I don't know what they're going to do at running back, though. Speaking of the diminishing returns on running backs.
Yep. We're going to talk more about that in that game, and then, of course, the national championship game, that and more. We got a text about you, too. We're going to continue. Maybe take some of your calls. You want to join the conversation, 404-741-0929. We continue on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback of Clemson, talking about facing the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from LSU, Joe Burrow, tomorrow night in the national championship game. Welcome back, everyone, to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this game day Sunday morning. Sam Crenshaw with you, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. Pleased to have Ray McElrath, a former Clemson player, who's going to have this movie coming out, Safety, depicting his life on Disney Plus coming up this fall. Glad to have him in studio. And I know you hear that guy talk, Trevor Lawrence. Thoughts about what he's done of that? Well, one quarterback from Georgia at Clemson following another quarterback from Georgia at Clemson. What's up with the Georgia quarterbacks going to Clemson?
Georgia produces great quarterbacks. well, that is true. Yes, Georgia does produce great quarterbacks. But I just think this speaks to Clemson's recruiting of the area of Atlanta and the program that they've come to build.
Yeah.
Why would you go anywhere else if you're a Georgia quarterback after seeing what Dabo has been able to do with the guys that he's able to get up there?
Yeah.
Would you rather be Deshaun? Would you rather be Trevor Lawrence? Would you rather be who would you want to be? Would you want to be Taj? Yeah. Although Taj is not. Wait, where did Taj go to school at? Either way, would you not want to be a Clemson quarterback? Thought process. And
we got one coming from the other part of the state that's coming. The one that signed his most recently.
DJ Yuga. I can't pronounce the name.
I can't say it either.
But he's like I think he's the top dual threat quarterback in the nation.
Yeah, he's on his way.
Exactly. I mean, so why wouldn't you? Because it's funny because I laugh at LSU sometimes when they say DBU. I'm like, okay, all right.
Well, you know, that was the thing that held them back for so long. What people said. Why can't LSU get a quarterback? Yeah. You know, because they all over the rest of the field.
They were perennial guys, but you know. Why was that? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know because why would
it was Alabama too? Alabama had a similar issue.
Right. But why would you want to go there? You got everything else in place. You step in there and you make the difference. And it's kind of to make a departure. It's kind of like what's happening over in Athens. With Jamie Newman, the young man who's coming from Wake Forest as a graduate assistant. A
lot of transfers. Go ahead.
How do you feel about being, once you graduate, you can go play somewhere else? How do you feel about it?
I think it's a wonderful rule. You've done what you needed to do as far as your education is concerned. So why not be allowed to make a decision as far as your life is concerned? Coaches do it all the time. Coaches get to go whenever they want to go, don't have to sit out a year, don't have to take pay cuts, nothing. So I think it kind of stifles a young man's growth if you don't allow him to make those kind of decisions. Because when you make the decision to go to a school, you're making somewhat of an informed decision, but you don't know. You've only been to this place a lot of times, once or twice. And when you went, they had to be on their best behavior.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything had to be the greatest. So it's not always what you think it is as in the college athlete. And a lot of kids get caught up in the hype of recruiting and then not the actual program itself, and the fact that you can revert back just change your mind about what you did or just feel like you can do better somewhere else, why not let that young man go do that? And I think it's kind of, not that I want football players to bounce all over the college football rankings, because that's why I think they have the rule in place, because some people would abuse the rule, but I think it's very important, and I think it's very needed that if you graduate, you can make your own decisions, because you've earned it at that point.
Yeah.
Because at 18, 17, a lot of the times when you get recruited, you don't know any better. A lot of these kids come from single parents households, so they don't have the right people in their corner to help them make the right decision. Because sometimes you can go to a school just because you saw girls on the campus.
Yeah, I
know guys like that. I know guys that decided to go places just because of the women.
Yeah.
Or
they like to run out through the smoke.
Right.
And it started,
or just the town in which the place is located, but not the people in the town. And I think that's terrible sometimes.
Yeah. It's different things that get you there. And like once you get there, you expect certain things to be that way. And sometimes they don't, they don't way out that way. So that's the other thing. Yeah. What you got?
I got a lot of people. The weather, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And how much difference does the transfer portal now make? Too, as far as I know. See, look, you're ready to chomp on that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Hang on a second. Let me do some business first, then I'll let you get to that. Getting a lot of calls about people getting confused about where they can hear the games today if they don't have a TV. So let me give you the rundown. We got basketball on our station. We got the Hawks and the Nets. Pre-game 5:30, tip-off at 6. Down on our cousin station, down on the floor around the around the corner, 1380 will have the divisional games. So, again, 1380 WAOK will have Houston, Kansas City, pregame 2:30, kickoff at 3, and then Seattle, Green Bay, pregame 6:15, kickoff at 6:40. So there you have it. Basketball with us.
Yep.
WAOK will have NFL. Back to the transfer portal.
Back to the transfer. How do you feel about that?
I transferred.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was an interesting.
And let people know now, you graduated.
Yes, I graduated in 3 years. Yeah. I was fortunate enough to go to school all the time and graduate in 3 years. And I'm probably the only football player to ever play Division I, Division I AA, and Division II football.
Okay. Wow.
Which is weird. Don't ask me why, but I was a transferring fool. A professional student more so than anything.
Yeah.
but I just had the opportunity to go to various different places, and I think those experiences broaden your horizon as a young man or as just individuals in general, just being able to go to different places to see different things. And being that I was allowed to transfer and play, I was fortunate. So, and then I got my degree as well. So,
yeah,
I think that's very important, and it's an incentive to getting your degree. Like, cause there are few incentives to getting your degree that you hear about coming in, other than getting a good job and being successful, which is not always the case, because there's plenty of people with degrees that don't have good jobs and not successful. But it's the best way to go about it. The transfer portal, I think it'll become more prevalent, especially since that you realize that most of the college football quarterbacks that are in the college football playoffs transfer from somewhere else.
Yeah. How about that?
I think it's a testament to what that means, because these guys were nobody at where they came from. Not necessarily nobody, but they weren't the guy.
Right.
But they got allowed to go somewhere where they could be the guy. And if you want the best for these young men, you will want them to go somewhere where they can be their best, where they can thrive and be the best person that they could be as a football player and as an individual. And a lot of these new recent transfers, you can see, as if you watch college football, that these guys are going places where they could make a name for themselves. Because, you know, who would Joe Burrow be if he never got in the LSU?
Right. That's what you think about.
Like, who would Russell Wilson be? Right. If you talk about the NFL, who would Russell Wilson be if he was never allowed to leave NC State?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know about him. You wouldn't hear about him. And so it's that type of situation. And I think it's very important that they continue to keep the transfer portal open. But the NCAA is continuing to make strides towards making the right decisions. I'm not one of those guys that's actually behind paying college football players, but that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
But the transfer portal is important.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's something that is allowing that player to go. Because some guys make that decision early on in life. They want to go to this school, and if the school offers them, that's just where they want to be. Even if they go and have to be scout team for 2 or 3 years, that's just where they want to be.
Some. But a lot of times what you end up doing is get sold a dream.
Yeah.
You have that coach who's telling you everything he needs to tell you to get you on campus.
Yeah,
and a lot of coaches around college football do that. They promise.
Well, that's their job. That's part of the job.
Yeah, that is part of the job. But a lot of times, let's say in my situation, Coach Burns, who's Alabama's running back coach now, he was a coach. He recruited me, but while I was at Clemson, he left. And one of the reasons I was big on Clemson, one of the things I felt close to Clemson was because I was cool with Coach Burns.
Right.
I met his family. We were cool. They looked out for me. We always had great conversations. It was always people that were there to talk. But the coaches get to leave whenever they want to. And a lot of times you can go to a university because you were close to a coach. You're close to the individual. You were close to the culture that was created by the individual. And then these coaches a lot of times leave, and then you're stuck.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere. You know, you got a new guy who doesn't believe in you the way this last guy believed in you, who didn't recruit you. You're not his guy.
Yeah.
And so it's a little different because with that coaching switch, and you're not the new coach's guy. You got to become that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might have ideas about your skill set that you don't have.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works out. Other times it doesn't. So
That's true.
Luck of the draw.
Spending time this morning, folks, Ray McElrathbay has been in studio. We talked with him we're talking about Clemson, and he's a Clemson man.
Go Tigers.
Your team is playing with you. Which Tigers? Because you got the other coach saying, go Tigers. You know, because that's how he's saying, right? which go Tigers?
Same Death Valley, not the same Death Valley.
How about that?
I mean,
it's the comparisons between the programs.
Okay, we're going to do this when we're going to, I guess the game will be for the rights to the names. For the year. If Clemson win, no longer calling LSU Field Death Valley. We're going to call it Valley. It's going to be, you know, the LSU Cougars. It's going to be some other type of cat.
Wow.
It's going to go ahead and be some other
You know
type
what,
of
though?
Cat.
Both those stadiums, though, are awesome places. I've been to Clemson many times. I've never been to a game at LSU, but I always hear there's something very special about Baton Rouge after dark. when they get you down there and they play the nighttime game, you're in trouble.
Oh, and nothing like it.
But then, you know, Clemson's one of those intimidating places too. Both, although to me, if you got a bucket list of college football stadiums to go to, you got to have both of those stadiums on your list.
Yes, it's important, especially in this new generation of Clemson football.
Yeah,
since Dabo has came. Everything is exceptional. The West End Zone, which is a project they built at Clemson a while back, when I was there, they started. But, okay. Man, it's
yeah, that's spectacular. That's awesome.
It's beyond spectacular, and the things are getting better. They're still building buildings, and they're still going up. And both places, I've been to both places. I've been to games at both places. I was recruited by LSU once upon a time. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful fan bases. Nothing like Clemson fan base. So, you know,
I got to ask you about, you know, what is it like to get, really? I can't ask him about this now? Coming up next, I want to know, because I know a lot of places, the guys who played up there. Matter of fact, when my first few games I went up there, the Perry brothers were up there, Michael Dean and Fridge. And them dudes would be up at the front leading them down. It's like, how many pounds of humanity coming down? You're going to give me the 25 seconds.
The most exciting 25 seconds.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Yes.
Hold it. Ray McElrath back here with me. We're going to go have one more segment with him coming up next here on this Game Day Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.90 Game and 92.90Game.com. Isaiah Simmons, the Clemson Tigers, talking about matching up with LSU in the national championship battle tomorrow night in New Orleans. Sports Radio 929 The Game, Sam Crenshaw with you here at the Kia Studios. And stay tuned. Coming up, John Chuckery is coming up along with Hugh Douglas at the top of the hour. But still another segment here with Ray McElrath, former Clemson player. He's got his life depicted coming up in October on the movie Safety. By the good folks at Disney, they've been filming it all around. And some of you listening may have been an extra because you film. Where all did you guys film here in town, Ray?
We filmed at a few places. We filmed at Georgia State's field. We filmed at Clayton State. Georgia State field is Turner Field. Well, the old Turner Field. East side of Decatur.
East side of Decatur? What are you doing in Decatur?
We did a sack race. There was a part of the movie that was there, a sack race. We shot that there.
Now that you live in that part of town, or you had
no. Ironically, what ended up happening is I had the opportunity to go back to a lot of places I grew up, a lot of places I've been in the city, and shoot the movie.
Okay,
because one of the fields that we shot at is a field I played 10 and under and 8 and under football, which is Bedford King or Freedom Parkway.
Okay, I know where the park is.
Yes, yeah, Atlanta. City of Atlanta Park, and we were able to shoot there, and it was right down the hill from where I played my little league football game. So it was a bunch of nostalgia going on. I got to go to a couple of different places. I tried to get them on Mays campus, but you know, APS, and it was a little struggle.
Yeah, well, you know, they're particular about those type things.
Yes.
It's fantastic, fantastic. We're going to talk about that game, wild segment here, get you your thoughts on the outcomes. And we talked earlier about the games coming up today. And want to find out, you know, who do you pick in this game? And let's go for the first one. First of all, we got Houston against Kansas City in the game that's coming up. And people can hear it, like I said, on WAOK 1380. Pregame at 2:30, kickoff at 3 o'clock. That's where the games are going to be today on 1380 WAOK. Thoughts about this matchup and quarterbacks? But also, you got a guy in J.J. Watt is back and healthy. And what he means also for that Houston team.
Texans Chiefs game, being that I got a guy in this game, a Clemson guy who's at the helm of one of the teams, I'm pulling towards the Texans. Although the Chiefs have been a favorite since Derek Thomas was on Tecmo Bowl when I played way back.
Wow, you're going back on that one now.
Yeah, those were the times I came up a Chief back when Christian Okoye was running the ball, Nigerian Nightmare.
Yeah, man.
I was a fan of the Chiefs back then, so I have a special place in my heart for them since Tecmo Bowl. But I can't go against the Texans and Deshaun. As I say his name, like Randy Watson from Coming to America, Mr. Watson. He's a wonderful guy, wonderful individual, so I'm pulling for him. But the Chiefs have a wonderful team. They're picking it up right at the great time of the year because they had some early struggles with their defense early on, but now they're doing a lot better. And the Texans, they just got to put it together. They have moments where the offense looks like it's unstoppable, and then other moments they look pedestrian. But I think it'll be a good game. I'm picking the Texans to win.
Yeah, you're going to go with the Clemson, yeah. Man. You're going to go with them. And our home folks, I mean, here in Gainesville. So, yeah.
It'll be a field goal. I got to win it by three.
That's what you're looking at. Yeah. All right, the second game now is a little different because it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
Seattle. Of course, Seattle, they kind of used to that type thing. Plus, they have rain with theirs a lot of that part
but
of the world.
But it's not that cold, though. Yeah. I don't see it being Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra. I don't see that happening. But Aaron does thrive in those type of situations. Yeah. But so does Russell. And like I said, Russell would be the MVP if it wasn't for Lamar Jackson's season. I couldn't pick him. What would you think?
I'm going in this one. You know what? It's hard to go against the pack at home.
Yes.
It's very hard to go against those guys at home, even though Seattle's done some played very well in second, you know, in the back half of the schedule. I just think if Green Bay's got you in that place this time of year and that temperature drops down just right, you know, it's hard to get away from them.
Yes. I think if Seattle can find a running game somewhere.
Yeah.
They'll win, but they got to give it to him. He's been out. He said he got his legs. They're coming back to him, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see
if they can. If he gets 70 yards, they'll win the game.
70. That's all he needs. That's all you need from him. And if you get talking about beast mode. If you get 70 yards, that's all you need from
him. Yes. Marshawn, if he gets 70 yards, if they can get 70 yards out of their backfield. I'll give them enough for the play action to work, and I believe the offense will be able to score enough to keep Green Bay at bay.
If they got the ball inside the one, inside the three, do you give it to them or do you throw?
Oh, well,
they've been living with that decision for a while up in Seattle.
I know, but see, that's what you got to ask yourself now because you don't know what they're going to do now because they might try to overthink it still. But you should give them the ball. That's what my money would be, but you know. Yep. I thought that when they had the opportunity.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's I didn't know where this one's going to go. Thoughts on who wins the national championship game tomorrow night? It's the big stage, you know, in New
Tigers.
Orleans. Yeah. The Tigers. Oh, no, we know the Tigers.
the orange and purple Tigers.
What's going to make the difference?
The experience. The experience of being where they've been and the fact that nobody expects them, not necessarily expects them, but. It's nobody understands that the getting ready for a game is kind of half the battle.
Yeah.
And you gave these coordinators with Clemson, Brent, and his staff 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
And so I think they can hold LSU's offense to not running up created player scores. and being that the case, Clemson's offense has always been – it was a little quiet. The first half of last game until that moment, but they've always been able to quick strike. Not that LSU doesn't have that same quick strike ability, but LSU doesn't have the defense that Clemson has.
You talk about the players having the experience of playing this game before, but how about the coach having been involved with this game before?
Yes.
This is the first time for Ed Orgeron.
Yes, and then see, even with scheduling, you know, something as important of how many guys go onto the field during certain positional moments is important. Like, okay, you're going to go out 15 minutes before and start warming up. Those kind of things come into play when you get into these type of games because it's so much going on logistically with all the cameras and all the people moving. And so if you can get comfortable in that atmosphere, that can provide you an edge, I think, that Clemson doesn't necessarily need, but will like kind of just catapult them into the winning circle as the national champions this year. Because, I mean, what can you say to experience? They've been here the last couple of years.
Yeah, they have. They have. Ray, we appreciate you coming by and being in the house with us today.
Yes!
Continued success as we get forward. We'll probably check back with you before the movie comes out as well. But we're really proud of you that they're telling your story.
Yes, be on the lookout for that movie. There also is a book and a documentary that will couple the movie, Safety. Okay. So look forward to those things. And I'm on all the social media platforms, so feel free to look me up, Ray McBay on Instagram, Ray McEarth Bay on Facebook.
All right.
And I'm glad you all had me, and it's been wonderful.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.